1 Corinthians chapter 16, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word. It is an honor to be back at Bible Holiness again. Thank you for the accommodations to Brother Gabbard. We certainly love and appreciate Brent and Teresa, Brittany and Courtney. We appreciate this family. And you host church here, God bless you. We love you, everyone. To all the pastors and local churches, God bless you for being here. What do you say? Let's just have camp meeting tonight. Let's get right to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. I beseech ye, brethren, ye know the household of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth us and laboreth. I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge ye them that are such. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. One word, addicted. If the Lord would stand by me tonight, I want to preach to you a message entitled, I'm Still Hooked. I come with a burden tonight because I fear that there are some among us that are losing their addiction. I fear there are some among us that are losing their desire. I fear there are some among us that are losing their craving for the things of God. Oh, but I pray that when we leave this building tonight, every man, woman, boy, and girl will be able to say, I got hooked all over again. Hallelujah. Now, we hear a lot today about people overcoming addictions, about how to kick the habit, of how to be set free from some habitual inclination, something that is harmful, hurtful, and something that causes havoc in home and human life, something that is destructive, something that is debilitating and devastating, something that causes one to lose all care of loved one, family, or themselves because they have an addiction. But I tonight do not want to talk to you about how to overcome an addiction. I want to talk to you about how to keep an overcoming addiction. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about an addiction that will make you an overcomer. I want to talk tonight about an addiction that will make you victorious. I want to talk about an addiction that will give you liberty and freedom. But the whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. It seems as if in the church today that we've become so casual. It appears to me that we've become so nonchalant. It seems as if we come to the place that we can take it or leave it, that we don't have to have it anymore. But I want to try to reawaken and restore and renew and refresh a desire in your heart for the things of God. And so you'll fall in these altars in just a little while and be made to realize I've got to have it all over again. It's not something that I can just pick up every now and then. But this addiction that I have for the things of God, this addiction I have for the house of God and for the Spirit of God, I can't live without it. I don't want to go a day without His presence. I don't want to go a moment without His power. I don't want to go a moment without His Spirit. I've got to have it all over again. I wonder, is anybody in the house, amen, already you're realizing how much I've got to have Him? You know you can't live right without Him. We know we can't have camp meeting without Him. We've got to have Him tonight. Hallelujah. been told that 90% of all Americans have some type of an addiction. That addiction may be to alcohol. That addiction may be to drugs. That addiction may be to tobacco. It perhaps may be to gambling. The most classic story I've ever read of an addiction to gambling is of an elderly couple that were both playing slot machines, husband and wife. While playing slot machines side by side, the husband fell over with a heart attack. His wife stepped over him, straddled him so she could play both machines at the same time. While the emergency responders work with her dying husband. That is an addiction. Hallelujah. Well, you may have to step over an old dying dead saint in this camp meeting, but I hope you make it up in your heart and mind. I'm not going to let anybody or anything get in my way. I've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost in my life. Too many times we stumble over somebody else. Too many times we let somebody else halt, hinder, and handicap us. But I wonder, is there anybody at Bible Wholeness on a Thursday night that says, I've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. I've got to have revival. I've got to have a shaking. I've got to have a stirring. I've got to have an outpour. I've got to have a move. I've got to have the Holy Ghost working in my life. I got to have it. When we think of addictions, we think of indulgences, infatuations, and intoxications of life that are selfish, sinful, and seductive. And because of these various addictions, men and women are left jobless, penniless, homeless. They have no food, they have no family, and they have no friends. These sinful, seductive, sensual addictions that I've mentioned tonight leave one without a home and without a hope. That's addictions that people need to overcome. But I want to preach tonight about an addiction that will make you overcome. Hallelujah. I want to preach about one that is holy, helpful, and healthy. This addiction that I'm preaching about tonight, our Lord is enthroned. It makes me love everybody, and I'll live eternally. This addiction that I have will never give me a hurt, a heartache, or a heartbreak. This addiction that I have leaves my head clear, my heart clean, and my hope is Christ. It satisfies, it sustains, it secures. That's the kind of addiction I'm talking about. Well, let me tell you about this addiction that I have. I need to make a confession to all of you. Since I was just a wee small boy, I've had a drug problem. Yes, my addiction began with a drug problem. My mother and dad got saved when I was but a small boy, and they drugged me to church. They drugged me to Sunday school. They drugged me to revival. They drugged me to prayer meeting. They drugged me to revival when it was raining. They drugged me when they were sick and when I was sick. But being sick did not keep them, amen, from us going to the house of God. And let me tell you what happened. Because my parents drugged me to church, I got hooked. Hey, man, hallelujah. Because my parents drugged me to the house of God, something got a hold of me. Because my parents drugged me to the Holy Ghost meeting, something got a hold of me, and I got hooked. Is there anybody here tonight? You can say, I got hooked. I got hooked on Holy Ghost meeting. I got hooked on prayer. I got hooked on revival. I got hooked on the power of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you hooked? Or rather, perhaps maybe you're losing that addiction. The idea of this word addicted means to be devoted to. It's the only place you'll find it in the King James New Testament. In the other Greek rendering, it's the word devoted. To be under the authority of. To be under the authority of. They have addicted themselves. Let's talk about that addiction for a little while tonight. Let's talk about the origin of that addiction. Let's talk about the object of that addiction. And then last, consider the outcome of that addiction. Oh, I'm glad I got hooked. First of all, the origin of their conversion. The origin of their conversion. This household of Stephanus. Now, if I read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16 correctly, this is the only household that Paul baptized. This is the only household that he baptized. Stephanus got saved at Achaia, and it became a family addiction. Hallelujah. I recently went to hear my son preach. He was preaching his first revival. And when I walked through the doors of that little building, oh, there were so many memories that flooded my mind. For when I was just a young boy still at home, my dad preached revival after revival in that little holiness church. Years later, the pastor was gracious enough to allow me to come and preach. And they were without a pastor for a prolonged period of time. And I filled in quite often. And now after all those many years, my boy is preaching in the same church where his daddy preached. And the same church where his grandpa preached. It become a family addiction. Hallelujah. Amen. Now here's what Paul says concerning this household of Stephanus. He said, ye know about this family. It was a family of note. It was a family that was well remembered and well thought of. They had been baptized by Paul. They were the first fruits of his ministry at Achaia. Amen. Notice the reputation of this family. He says, ye know. It was not something he had to remind them of. They did not need to hear it again. Everybody knew when he mentioned Stephanus. That is a church-going family. That is a faithful family. That's a man whose family is going to be in the house of God. When the doors are open, you don't have to wonder, are they going to be there? They are going to be there. Ye know the house of Stephanus. Well, since it's Thursday night and it's just us, what does everybody know about your house? You know the house of Stephanus. You know their reputation. They're going to be there. Some years ago, I buried Jack Hickerson. Jack was a deacon at Texarkana for over 53 years. He said that when he was a young man, he farmed with a pair of mules. A wild dog came through the community and bit both mules and they died. He went and borrowed money against his farm and bought the first tractor that was ever in Miller County, Arkansas. Jack Hickerson went to his grave with this testimony. He never dropped a plow on Sunday. He was one of the most wealthy, most well-known, and respected farmers in Miller County, Arkansas. I do not know at the acres of land that he owned.
In his later years, he had more land than he could farm, and so he leased it out. But Jack Hickerson was a blessed man. He was a God-fearing man because he never dropped a plow on Sunday. They laughed at him. They made fun of him. They done everything. All the other farmers would say, "Jack, you better get that crop in." He said, "It'll wait till Monday or it can rot in the field, but Sunday's the Lord's day, and I'm not gonna touch it." You remember when we had that kind of fear and respect in the house of God for the things of God? I'm talking about an addiction. When Jack Hickerson left this world, they came by the hundreds. Men that did not know God, that would have never darkened the door of a holiness church, but they come to honor a godly man that wouldn't drop a plow on Sunday and held true to his conviction. But now we come to the holiness church, amen, and you show up late or don't show up at all, and you can't wait to get out the door so you can run to the shopping mall. Would somebody help me while I preach? And it seems like we've lost our desire for the things of God. It seems like we've lost our craving for the things of... Somebody ought to shout amen. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Help me a while now. I'm saying we need a renewed addiction for the house of God. We need a renewed addiction for the house of God. See the origin of their conversion? The reputation of this family and the resolution of their faithfulness. They addicted themselves to the ministry. Now I need to take my time and preach to you for a while. Listen to me, Bible Holmes. I come to you with a burden. What I'm going to attempt to preach tonight, something fresh and new. Of course, I tried it out on the home folk before I left. I figure if a man ain't got guts enough to preach it at home, he ought not preach it nowhere else. See, the reputation of this family is followed by the resolution of their faithfulness. They addicted themselves. Now, Stephanus can't say for everybody else what they're going to do. But Stephanus can say is for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I cannot decree and dictate and determine what everybody else does. But for my house, when it's church time, we're going to church. Turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. This won't take very long. Verse number 22. Let us draw near. Verse number 23. Let us hold fast. Verse number 24. Let us consider one another. Have you ever saw that before? Let us. Let us. Let us. Now come and look at that closely again. Let us draw near. Let us. Let us draw near. Communion. Let us hold fast. Commitment. Verse number 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us communion. Let us commitment. Let us commandment. He does not say if you want to or if you feel like it. Amen. Or if you jolly well please. Or if you don't have anything else to do. He said let us consider one another. Have you ever noticed? Will you allow me please? Just look at that single word us. Look at that word. U-S. There it is. Amen. Us includes you. Hallelujah. Do you see it? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? You cannot have us without putting you in there. Come on here now. When I speak about the church, I mean corporately. I mean collectively. I mean as a body, as a unit. Amen. As a family.
as a fellowship. I'm talking about you. If this is your church, I'm talking about you. If this is where you go to church, I'm talking about right here. Bible Wholeness, this is where we're at. It makes up the church. And when we say us, it means you.
Amen. So, can your pastor count on you when it gets church time? Now, I don't want all of you to get off the boat, so I need to hurry to something else, don't I? Think not only the origin of this addiction, but the object of this addiction. The object of their addiction. It was the object of their consecration. The household of Stephanus, they have addicted themselves. Pray for me, brother. I just felt a meddling spirit get all over me again. Look at the King James text. It did not say they were addicted to themselves. It said they addicted themselves. I have just hit upon the very reason of why nobody can please you. You're addicted to yourself. Amen. Here's the mentality that we have, amen, in the church world today. Amen, in this seeker-sensitive society. Amen, of where everything has to be so planned and programmed. Everything has to be so tuned. Everything has to be so fine down that we have to please the congregation, because the congregation comes with a consumer mentality. Because the congregation comes with the idea, if this don't please me, I can go to another church where they will please me. If the choir does not please me, I'll find one that does. If the preacher does not please me, I'll find one that does. I'll go to a church that pleases me. And you're all wrapped up in self. What you need to do is throw away your mirror and get a window and realize there's a world that's lost. Amen. There's people going to hell. And it's not about satisfying you. It's not about pleasing you. But it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Would you give Him the honor? And would you give Him the praise? It's all about Him. Here's the gross misconception that we have in modern Christendom today. They were addicted to themselves. And we have completely forgotten what the real agenda is all about. Stories told about that famed Confederate general. Is it all right if I put in a plug for the South? Robert E. Lee was once traveling horseback with his young son. They were overtaken by a terrible rainstorm. Robert E. Lee was drenched head to foot, as well as was his young son. Robert E. Lee rushed to a nearby cabin, rapped on the door. The lady of the house opened the door, and he asked for refuge from the storm. She looked at this man whom she did not recognize, his clothes dripping with rain, his hat and shoes sodden with water. And she said, "Well, I guess you can come in." Robert E. Lee, the general, stepped into the parlor of her small house. Immediately he thought of the horses. And he said, "Ma'am, could I put my horses in your barn?" Reluctantly she agreed. He stepped back out on the porch and into the rain he went. The woman of the house looked at her parlor floor that was now covered with standing water and mud. And she began to grumble and complain about the mess that this stranger had made, whom she did not recognize. And all the while, young Lee, Robert E. Lee's son, was looking from wall to wall. And on every wall, he seen portrait after portrait of his famous father, who the woman of the house did not recognize. He seen all those portraits of his dad, and here stood this woman grumbling about the water and mud that was on her floor. And finally, he could take no more of it. And he said, "Ma'am, your hero's been in the house and you didn't even know about it." Hallelujah. I come to tell somebody at Bible Wholeness, when we come to church, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It ain't about the preacher. It ain't about the parishioner. It ain't about the singer. Amen. It ain't about the powder, but it's all about Jesus. The hero is in the house. I said the hero is in the house, and somebody ought to give him some honor, and somebody ought to give him some praise. Would you get him up in the house? That's why we come, to give him glory. I said that's why we come, to give him praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Would you give him some honor? Would you give him some praise? The hero. Oh, you ain't doing good enough. He's worth more than that. I said he's worth more than that. The hero is in the house. Somebody ought to praise him. Go ahead and give him some honor. The object of this addiction, the object of their consecration, was they addicted themselves to the ministry. Oh, I sure need to preach to you. Help me, Brother Savage. Now, you know this Bible better than any of the rest of us. Did it say that they addicted themselves to the minister or to the ministry? Amen. So he and I agree. They had not got addicted to some preacher. Here's a danger that is among us, and that is getting all of our faith and all of our confidence and all of our belief caught up in some man, caught up in some personality. Oh, would you wave at the Lord and say, "Lord, help me not to get caught up in some preacher. Help me not to get caught up in some man." Ooh. Stay with me. Ask the Holy Ghost to help me work this word. Amen. They addicted themselves to the ministry. That meant to the service. Amen. That meant to the relief of others. Theirs was a loyalty that was encouraging. Now remember, they were the first and the only family to be baptized by Paul. This was the only family as a whole that Paul baptized. They could have been arrogant. They could have been proud. They could have felt like they deserved honor more than anybody else because they were first. Pray for me, Brother Brim. I feel another meddling spirit coming on. Amen. They could have stood up and testified at Achaia and said, "I want you to know I was here before anybody else was. Amen. I was here when nobody else was here.
here. Amen. I stayed when everybody else, you not helping me while I preach. I got you on the run. You're suspicious already. Amen. This household of Stephanus could have said, amen, everybody ought to honor us. Everybody ought to serve us. Everybody owes us applause and appreciation and accolades because we were here first. I want to tell you, it does not matter who's here first. It matters most who still got fruit. Come on here now. It matters most who still got fruit.
Fifteen years had passed, and Paul could write back and make reference to the house of Stephanus, and he said they were the first fruits. And now after 15 years, they're still there. And they still got it. Now that's who I want to say hats off to. That's who I want to say I appreciate you. I honor you. Amen. I give you respect and regard because you're still here. But not only are you still here, but you still got it. After 15 years, the house of Stephanus has not lost it. Some time ago, I was told of a hippie that got saved. And he read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then he read the book of Acts. And he seen all the miracles and marvels, all the works and wonders. And he asked someone, said, where's a church like that at? And someone said, well, you'll have to go to a Pentecostal church. So this converted hippie seeks out a Pentecostal church. And it was just as quiet. And it was just as dead. It was just as formal as the other churches he had went to. He didn't see any of that stuff that was in the book of Acts. And so at the end of service, the pastor recognized him as a visitor and said, would you like to say anything? And this converted hippie stood up and looked around and said, I just got one question. Where's all the stuff at? Oh, I sure need to preach a while right here. 15 years have passed, and the house of Stephanus still ain't lost the stuff. Come on here now. You remember how it was when you first got saved? Let's go back and work on that a while. Amen. The house of Stephanus was the first fruits of Paul's ministry. That was the ones that he baptized. That was his first converts. Remember how it was when you first got saved? Anything that was like the world, anything that pertained to the world, you got shut of it. You shucked it off. You throwed it out. You put it in the trash. You got rid of it. But now years have passed and you've lost the stuff. Come on here now. There was a time, amen, all they had to sing was the second line three times and you was in the aisle. But now they can sing one song 12 times or 12 songs one time and you'll sit there, amen, just as dry as shucks, amen, just as dead as 4 o'clock. You've lost the stuff. But I come to Bible Holiness to tell you it's time we get the stuff back. It's time we get. I said it's time we get the stuff back.
Somebody ought to give him some praise in the house. Their loyalty was encouraging. Their labor was enduring. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That word means all that was sacred and all that was pure, all that was holy. They completely and totally gave their lives to it. And not only did Stephanus give his life to it, but it was a family addiction. Oh, hallelujah. Here's where I felt the Holy Ghost check me. We need to pray and believe God in this camp meeting
that the Lord's going to do it for the whole house. I'm talking about everybody in the house get hooked. Woo! The origin of this addiction, the object of this addiction, the reason times we fail is because we have the wrong object. The object is ourself instead of others. We're too self-centered. It's us four and no more. It's me and mine. Stand up, testimony service. I don't smoke, dip, or chew, or run around with girls that do. If a fence post could talk, it could give the same testimony. And we've got our line of prohibitions and all the things that we forbid and frown on. And we think that that is what makes us holy. But we're so self-centered. We're so selfish. And you're not helping me while I preach. But here's a household affair. And their object was not themselves, but others. Hallelujah. What's the outcome of this addiction? Notice the outcome that gave their coronation. As I look at this story, I ask myself with the mind of a skeptic, does it count? Does it matter? What's the good of it? Where's the benefit? What's the blessing? What does Stephanus receive because, amen, of this addiction? What does he get out of it? Until I understand the meaning of his name. Stephanus means crowned. Hallelujah. Stephanus means crowned. Paul says, I don't want to leave him without giving him honor. I don't want to leave him without giving him recognition. Amen. It really does count. And this is what Paul said. I am glad of the coming of Stephanus. Not only that, he said, they refreshed my spirit. Amen. There was a nearness that he appreciated. I am glad at the coming, the drawing near, the coming nigh unto. Paul is saying, when I'm incapacitated, when I could not come, when I could not move, when I was hindered, when I was bound, when I was barred, when I was prison, when I was held back and I couldn't go, he come to me. Amen. He come to me. There was a nearness that he appreciated. Amen. Can your pastor, hear me now, can your pastor count on you to come? Can your pastor count on you to come? Paul said, I'm glad for the coming of Stephanus. I'm glad he come. Well, can your pastor count on you to come? I thought only this evening about that soldier that was pinned down in no man's land, rapid enemy fire all overhead. And there he was, mortally wounded, pinned down. And suddenly he hears a noise alongside of him, turns and sees it was his comrade, his best friend, scooting on his belly, crawling on his all fours, trying to get where he was, fell in right beside him. His last words was, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd come. Can your pastor count on you? Amen now. I got somewhere to preach when I get back home, so I'm not feared of you, okay? I want to know is, amen, is your pastor saying, I knew they'd come, or I knew they'd go? I knew they'd come just as long as it was peaches and cream. I knew they'd come, amen, long as I was preaching sweet to them. I knew they'd come just as long as I was blessing them. I knew they'd come as long as the children were happy. You ain't helping me while I preach. I knew they'd come just as long as I was pleasing mama. Come on here now.
Gotta keep mama happy. When mama's happy, everybody's happy. When mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen. Or is it really secretly deep down? The pastor's thinking, I knew they'd go. I knew they'd go when I got to preaching wholeness. I knew they'd go when I come down the line. I knew they'd go when I started busting hide. I knew they'd go. How about your family? I knew they'd come, or I knew they'd go. What about your family? Give me a family that'll come, that'll be faithful, that'll be accountable, that'll be dependable. Give me a family that'll come.
I'm glad for the coming of Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaia. I'm glad, for they refresh me. They refresh my spirit. He said there, that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. There's not only a nearness that he appreciated, but there was a necessity that they addressed. And what that simply means is, and there's a bit of controversy, some think that perhaps Paul was taking a bit of an opportunity to kind of maybe cut them for not sending the support that he needed. But if you'll read the actual rendering, you'll understand that his meaning is not monetarily at all. He's not speaking about finance. It's rather fellowship. And Paul is saying, when you couldn't come, Stephanus come, Fortunatus come, and Achaia could come, and they come, and that made up the difference. And them coming refreshed my spirit. When I saw you, that gave me ease. That's the word. When I saw you, that gave me comfort. There's something about this man's presence. There's something about this man's presence that gives a holy stability to a meeting. I'm glad for your coming. It refreshed my spirit. It gave me ease. It got my feet settled. It gave me surety of the spirit. Amen. I'm glad of the coming of Stephanus. It gave me refreshment. It gave me refreshment. Oh, would you help me while I preach? It refreshed me. It was like a breath of fresh air. It was like a drink of cool water. Shatabaya, katabaya. Something about the presence of that man of God. Woo! It refreshed my spirit. Two years ago at Dryden Road, some of you remember this. Brother Collins, his chauffeur over here, brought Brother Collins to meeting, I don't know how many services. We appreciate Brother David Eldridge, don't we? He's been faithful to Brother Collins. On one night, however, this particular night, Brother David was obligated to be somewhere else and he couldn't come. Unbeknownst to Sister Collins, Brother Collins slipped out into the garage, crawled up in his automobile, and took out for Dayton. Somewhere on the interstate, he blowed a tire. He kept on driving. He pulled up in the Dryden Road parking lot on the rim, completely beat down. Sparks are flying. Somebody put him in a wheelchair and brought him in the house of God. And the glory come down as he went back and forth across the front. And when we learn the story of that man of God's desire to be in the house of God, that a man who's a stroke victim and partially paralyzed would crawl up in an automobile and attempt to make the drive and then to continue and finish the drive on a blowed out wheel, come in on the rim, but he come on in anyway. Amen. And him coming there refreshed our spirit in the Lord. And
And may I say, you may have come here tonight crippled. You may have come limp and lame, halted or handicapped. Amen. But nevertheless, you're here. And seeing how we're here, let's have a Holy Ghost meeting. Seeing how we're here, let's just let the Lord have his way. Since we've all got together, let's get together. And let us get together and worship. Let us get together and give him praise. And give him glory in the house. Stand all over the building. And let's honor the Lord in this place. Sister Whitney, come. Let's honor the Lord. Hands up raised. Oh, heads bowed. Father in heaven, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for your precious Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, my prayer tonight is that you'll not only do it for Dad, you'll not only do it for Mom, but Lord, would you do it for the whole house tonight? Make it a family addiction, Lord. Oh. God, I pray for that one that's self-centered and selfish, that's become addicted to themselves. Help them, God, be restored, be renewed. They must once again realize it's not about ourselves, it's about others. Have your way, Spirit of God. Make it a family affair in the house tonight. I'm going to ask something of you. I'm going to ask a husband to get to the wife, the children to get to the parents, and let's come stand as families. Quickly, move quickly. Husbands and wives together. Parents, find your children. This altar tonight, we're going to make it a family addiction. What do you say? All together now. Bring those little ones. Bring those precious children. Grandparents. Grandchildren. Amen. Can you say, I'm still hooked? I haven't lost that addiction. While they sing,
I will give you all.
A family addiction, Lord.
I will give you all. If all is left to ask me, I am not whole.
Together, Lord.
If my sacrifice,
husband and wife,
is less than
parents and children,
my very best,
family addiction.
Let me remember Calvary and be willing to say yes. I will give you all. I will give you
praise
all.
Praise him in the house. Praise him in the house.
I will not withhold. If my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember Calvary and be willing.
Somebody ought to praise him in the house.
Say yes.
Go ahead and worship him.
Oh, I will
come on,
give
Dad.
You all.
I'll give you all, Lord.
I
come on, Mom.
Give
I'll give you all, Lord.
You
oh, God, move in this altar.
I will not withhold.
Come on, saints of God, let the Lord work in this house tonight. The Holy Ghost is working in this house tonight. Come on, the Holy Ghost is working in this house right now. Saints of God. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving around the altar right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is moving around the altar right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.